Welcome to Rooster Radio, a broadcast dedicated to supporting and promoting local artists in the Gaston County and surrounding areas.
It got so, the weather's been so weird the last couple of weeks. So, last weekend, it was, 16 degrees. It was so freaking cold.
Freezing.
We had a sellout here. We had a sellout show here Saturday night. Yes. So, the place was wall-to-wall packed. And the humidity in this room was so bad that all of the flyers that we have taped to the window up front, they all got, worn and, moist.
Warped.
Not the M word.
Yeah. We had to take all the flyers off the window because the humidity ruined them.
It's not regular humidity. It's sweat humidity.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about swimidity at the Rooster. Andra, Sharon, Oliver, and Scott in that bathroom during Headbangers Ball with all the shit back here. It was so freaking hot in that bathroom.
Dude,
I was
Scott,
I cannot bro. And he's walking around Andrew did my, I'm stop telling people I did your makeup because bro, I couldn't even do the good job I wanted to do on it. I was like, oh my God, I'm so, but your face when he walked on that stage and you turned around and saw him was absolutely priceless and worth every bit of the swimidity that we survived in that bathroom because
Scott's always delivers when it comes to costumes. That dude's he's brilliant, man. He comes up with some of the coolest, funniest stuff.
He really does. He really does. He sent me couldn't make it to any of y'all's Christmas stuff. He sent me all of his videos and all of his pictures of his costumes and what he was doing. And
Scott's, so it's funny that you brought up Scott because that's a great way to intro. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Andrew and Oliver Fox from For Fox Sake Media. That's the camera you want to look at and say hey to everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
So you bring up Scott, and Scott's one of those, Scott and Tim Schaefer are two, and you guys are, and there's a handful of others. I'm going to leave somebody out and get someone upset, but we all know who we are. But they're the lifeblood of this music scene. Guys people like Scott and Sharon, people like Tim Schaefer, Jamie, Tony, all the CMM crew, Headbangers crew, Carolina Headbangers. They're the icon pit crew. They're what keep this scene alive. So many times we've had shows where we just didn't have a great turnout, but they were there.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like these staples of the local music community, and what's cool about it is they document for us, right? They're the ones that are posting and sharing. They're the one like Tim's got his own YouTube channel where you can go back and look at all these amazing
shows.
Because you guys started the podcast. I guess that's a great place to start. Let's start there with the podcast. So do your commercial for the podcast, and we'll get into it.
Okay, sure. I'm just going to go straight out and pitch then. So I do also have a little podcast called For Fox Sake Radio. We are on Spotify. We are a music radio format. So I do about 20 songs an episode, and then you get to hear me run my mouth about shit in between. A lot of them are based around the local music scene. All of them pretty much are. I do pull from other places, around the country, around the world. I've played something pretty much from all over the globe at this point.
Well, local
stuff is where it's at.
You do a good job of peppering in, national and global, acts and stuff, but I love the way you highlight local bands and being I mean, I guess for lack of a better term, a super fan, right?
Absolutely.
Being a super fan, you have a lot of this inside knowledge of the people and that produce and put this stuff together.
Definitely.
So it's a really, it's a good, like, in my mind, your podcast is educational, right?
I love that. You know, I love that.
It's like a way to connect deeper with the scene that we have because of your vast knowledge of who's who and who's in what band or who was in this band. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's exactly what I want it to be, too. I want it to be kind of a gateway to say, hey, you know, there isn't a specific genre and there isn't a specific thing that you need to focus on. It's about, let's look at these events. Let's look at these actual bands and these people as people and who they are, what they do. You know, all these local bands, all these local entertainers, period, they work their 8-to-5, 9-to-5 jobs. They go home to their families. They go to band practice all week long. And then they come out on the weekends ready to party.
Yeah.
Right? And they're coming to play a show for us. They're coming to play a show for the fans. So it's important to bring that and bridge it all together to me. And it's what my dad always did my whole life. My dad,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I grew up in bars, y'all, at like 8 years old that I should never have freaking been in because that was my dad's scene. He took me to blues festivals.
Was he a musician or?
He played harmonica and was a wannabe musician. And that's,
he's just a partier.
Yeah, he was a super fan and a partier. And that's kind of the spirit of what For Fox's Sake Media and For Fox's Sake Radio is in. Of my dad, of...
So would you say like your dad kind of inspired you to make that move? Because you guys,
definitely,
you made that jump like literally right around the same time we opened up.
Yep.
So, you know, and for those who don't know, Andrea and Oliver are the promoters, producers, however you want to say it, of our drag shows. And that's why they're here today.
Yes.
We have Drag Me to the Rooster Luster Love Edition coming up this Friday. That's February the 1st, 2nd.
Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Dates get so jumbled in my head,
me
y'all.
Me too.
Yeah. But so Andrew came to me last year about putting on a drag show. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And we did it the first weekend of June for,
yes,
Pride Month. And it went over so well.
So good.
So well. We had a huge turnout. Like we were packed. And I'll tell you, you know, I'll go ahead and get in front of this now, like, because that was the first time I experienced anybody like going on social media and talking shit and saying,
yeah,
negative things about, you know, people were like, I'm not supporting the Rooster, they do drag shows. First of all, if that's you, fuck yourself. You can turn us off and go live your life.
Boom.
Number two, I was like, why are you having this reaction? Like, what does it matter to you? You know, it's an 18 and over show, and the validation was throughout the night. Dozens, I mean, not just a couple, but dozens of people came up to me at the bar with tears in their eyes, thanking us for putting,
yeah,
this show on.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, that got me emotional. I was like, man, really? Like, and then a couple of them even went so far as to say, like, there's nowhere in Gastonia that we can go and do this. And I was like, you know what? We're doing it again. And then we did the Black Friday one. And I thought Black Friday was going to be a great idea because it's a time when everyone's at home with family. And
right,
I know a lot of people in the LGBTQ community are not welcome or,
right,
they don't feel loved around the holidays. There's a lot of, you know, we are in the Bible Belt. So there's a lot of zealots that live out this way.
Definitely.
So, unfortunately, the turnout wasn't as great as we had hoped, but it was still a really fun show.
It was still a really fun show, and I feel like there was still some people that are, who I believe are going to be our supporters, that are return customers and patrons that came back for the show, which I loved.
Speaking of, I'll just say this. I'm happy to put these shows on, and we're going to do 3 a year going for, like, that's kind of the,
yep,
plan. We're going to, as long as people are coming.
Keep coming.
But I will say this, we do support the community, but you got to come in between the track shows.
Right.
Come to more shows,
come,
please.
To all the shows.
I didn't, some of those people
of
I didn't see for 6 months until we did another drag show.
Truth. Everybody come out and support all the time. And I tell so many people, like, there's a place in the metal community for the LGBTQ people. There's a place in the rock and roll community. You can go, you can come here and feel safe. It doesn't matter if it's a drag show night or a non-drag show night. There's burlesque. There's comedy. That's what I love about you guys.
We've got a girls' night out show coming up in May.
Yes.
We do the girls' night out show. Last year we did it on Mother's Day weekend, and we're just going to keep doing that every year.
That's
we're going to do the girls' night out, like the Magic Mike experience every Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah. The girls told me it was fantastic. I'm so sad that I had to miss that one, but I will not be missing the next one.
It was a white trash party.
Those are the best ones, right?
It was a lot of fun. My favorite thing about doing the girls' night out show was that, I mean, there were no men in the audience. Like, no men came
That's
out.
Great.
Oh, yeah, you told me I had missed a good time.
I'm going to tell this story real quick because it was so funny. this like, you know, the room's pretty much full already. So this guy comes in with two ladies, and one of them is his wife or girlfriend or whatever. And they come over to the short side of the bar, and he sits at the very end of the short side of the bar, and I walk up to see what he wants. And he goes, the first thing he says to me is like, I just want you to know that I don't want to be here. This was not my idea. I'm just here because my wife drug me out. And without missing a beat, I looked him in the eye. I said, man, you play your cards right, you're going to have the best night of your life.
True that.
So he ordered vodka sodas, and about four or five vodka sodas in, he kind of weighs me down, and I walk over there, and he's excited. And I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, I think I'm going to have a threesome tonight. And I smacked the bar. I said, see there?
Told you. Best night of your life. You never know. And you know, that brings up a point of coming out to support things that you wouldn't normally come out to support. Yeah. Even if it is because somebody drug you out to it. I've drugged, speaking of, I'll go ahead and let everybody know, I've drugged Tim Schafer out to a drag show. And he's Tim Schafer. So you know what Tim Schafer did? Tim Schafer, who had never been to anything really of that nature, like, we did dinner. Wasn't it a dinner?
It was
a drag dinner. He went up when it was time for intermission to play the game. Tim went up, he played the game, raised his hand, and had a great time and enjoyed the art. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, getting out of your element is, I'm a firm believer in everyone should do things that make you uncomfortable.
Yes.
You need to continue to push your boundaries, you know, push your limits, because first of all, you don't know what you're capable of until you've tried and found out. Second of all, you might be missing out on something that you're going to fall in love with.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm not saying that drag is the thing for everybody. You know, look, drag has an audience, and we're going to support that audience. We just hope that audience will support us in other ventures. And I get it. If it's not your thing, then don't come. You know, I've had a couple people have made the argument to me about, you know, that people have it in their head that drag queens are trying to molest their kids. And I'm like,
I know, right?
Drag queen, for the most part, they hate children.
Right.
Children are
like,
monsters.
Yeah.
We really just want them to stay away from us. Okay, please. Yeah.
But, you know, the people you're really mad at are the people within the education system that force these policies on. You know, like the people that you're mad at are your leaders that you elected. Those are the people that you're mad at. You know, drag queens themselves, for the most part, are just really fun people.
Absolutely.
And that's why our drag shows are 18 and up, because we don't even want to have that. You know, we're not trying to.
You're statistically more likely to get molested by your pastor.
Correct.
Than you are by
a
drag queen.
That is a fact.
It is a fact. And that's, I think, you know, we were talking a little earlier about, like, certain things falling into a political debate that just shouldn't be. And that's my biggest thing about these bills that fortunately were found unconstitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court, of like, it's not the government's place to tell someone how to raise their child. It's not the government's place to be telling me what I need to do with my body, but they do. You know, it's not the government's place to get in a matter of, can you go out in public?
Well,
as who you are.
I mean, it's no secret. I've made a very, very serious effort to not be political on this show or with anything that we do. And I don't want to do that today. I'm not going to get political. The one thing I will say is, you know, if it's not for you, then don't come. Then like we're going to support the drag show the same way we support a heavy metal show, the same way we support a hip-hop show. Like, we put everything we have into everything that we do. Yes. And, you know, and it, look, you know, some people don't like heavy metal. Right. But you know what? We'll have a country show. You know, you can come to that. We'll have, you know, we'll have singer-songwriter nights. You know, we have our open mic. Ugh. You know, there's something here for everybody. And to say you're not going to support a business because they did one thing you didn't like, that's ridiculous.
Exactly. Right.
You know, if you look back in the background of almost every business, they're going to have something you don't like.
Yes.
Yeah. Who they support.
Apply that same logic to parenting. Apply
exactly.
that same logic to education. Apply that same logic to anything else you do in life.
I totally agree.
You sound like an idiot.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. It comes from a place of ignorance in a lot of cases, and that's okay if you're willing to be educated about it and become.
You know, we had a gospel show here once.
Yeah.
You know,
like, you can just do anything. It's about supporting people and about supporting any art form.
But I don't want a soapbox. I don't want
to
get.
Like I said, I'll get political, but okay. I don't want it to be that either.
It's nice that, you know, with a wide variety of friends, I can almost always bring up the Rooster in a conversation because there's some type of show that can be, hey, you're going to like this show on this weekend.
Yes.
If you don't have something going on this weekend, you'll love this at the Rooster because there's always something for everyone. Regardless what time of year it
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. And that's the main reason that I share daily, you know, anything that's up posted, because there's folk music. There's literally something for everyone here. And that
I think
is
that's
so
been
important.
I believe that's one of our biggest strengths and weaknesses simultaneously. It's one of our biggest strengths because we can appeal to everybody. But it's kind of a weakness because it prevents us from having like a regular crowd that pays the bills, so to speak. Most bars have a regular crowd that kind of what keeps the lights on, right? Most bars have that. And outside of our open mic, which we do once a week, you know, once a week I can depend on, you know, this finite amount of sales that we're going to hit no matter what, because this same 15 people will be here and they all drink the same thing every week, and it's like I can depend on that every week.
That's me.
We're talking about me right now. We're talking about
and Michael and Tanya
so it's like, you know, most bars have that every night, that these people that are going to support them every night, every week, and we have that once a week. So, like I say, it's kind of a weakness, but I lean more toward it being a strength because it does kind of give us an exposure to every different demographic in the county.
Yeah.
You know, and I see it every night, you know, new faces come in every week, you know, and then sometimes we'll see them back, and sometimes we won't see them again until we do that same thing again.
Exactly.
You know, like we have a handful of people that only come when we do 80s metal stuff, right? And we do it quite often. Like we've got
80s metal. Hey, man, 80s metal's where it's at.
I mean,
that's
you
fun.
Know, tonight, you're watching this on Monday, this already happened, but tonight we've got an Iron Maiden tribute. I know exactly who I'm going to see here tonight.
Yep.
But that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Like you have these groups that if we stick it out long enough, we can depend on these people to support these things that we do.
Yeah.
And hopefully each time we do them, we can get a couple more people to come in. And that's how it's going to be. It's a slow burn with this.
It is. And I think that's why it's so important that everybody share everything that is being done with Rooster Radio, with anything that is posted on your TikTok, your Facebook,
any exposure.
If you're one of those people that comes in for some show, if it's for our drag show, if it's for one of the CMM events, if it's for Carolina Headbangers events, since those are, you know, the ones main ones we've mentioned, like, share everything. Make
sure
that you're
putting
up your
pictures. Yeah.
And everybody does such a good job of that already. But that's, I think, ultimately what brings it all together.
And get out of your comfort zone. You know, if you want to go out on a Friday or Saturday night, you know, you've been cooped up and, you know, you're looking for something to do, But you don't want to go to like the same old bars with the same old people. Come here. Like, even if it's a show, even if it's the type of music that you might not be used to, at least give it a shot.
Right, give it a shot.
And it's never a bad price. I mean, most of the shows are under $20. Exactly. You know, except for the occasional special one that's $25 or something like
that.
Yeah,
occasionally we'll have like a national headliner come through and we got to charge more. And that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because when I book shows with local bands, when we get to that point of the conversation, it's like, well, what should we charge for the ticket price? I'm always like, you know, 15 in advance, 20 at the door, 10, 50, something like that. And they always want to go lower. And I'm like, guys,
come on. I want you to make some money. Like somebody, everybody should make something.
Yeah.
And we want to bring people to the bar to actually drink at the bar. Mm-hmm. We want to bring entertainers in that can be actually...
Speaking of entertainers, talk to me a little bit about how you got involved with like putting on drag shows. What was the spark there? How did that get going?
Well, I've always been a baby drag queen.
I know we're all over the place. We're bouncing all over the place. After the podcast, so just give me the cliff notes.
So honestly, really, I've always wanted to do some kind of shows. It kind of all ultimately ties together. So when I moved to the Charlotte area, we actually live in Rock Hill. So when we moved to this area, I spent like a year and a half not really doing anything, going anywhere, knowing anybody.
Where from?
I moved here from Florence, South Carolina, unfortunately.
So you're a Carolina girl still?
Yeah, I'm still a Carolina girl, but... Yes. Yeah, so shortly after I moved here, my father passed away.
Okay.
And my father was very influential in my life when it came to music, as we talked about earlier.
Sounds like your dad was kind of like your buddy. Like he was your, you know,
he was my pal.
On.
Yeah. My parents split up when I was 8, and my dad would like come through and scoop me at summertime, right? So he would pick me up and take me on an adventure. So, of course, like, dad was, like, the hero, and even mom was like, you know, you're dad, and I'm like, well, you know, he's dead, so, like, I do love you, Ma, like, a lot, I love you a lot, hard hands, but, yeah, so he passed, and shortly thereafter, one of my friends that I worked with said, you're not going to stay in the house anymore, we're not doing this, like, you're going to get out, you're going to meet people, you're going to do stuff. And she took me to a bar called The Hideaway in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And that was my first experience at The Hideaway, but not my first experience with drag.
She took you to a drag show.
Yeah, she took me to a drag show.
That's kind of an extreme, like for someone who's like kind of shelling up, sitting at home.
I was like, I'm just going to sit in this cathedral.
It's a bit of a culture shock.
She was like, no, I know you love drag. Let's go to a show. So she took me out, and that became my home bar. Pretty much. And it's right down the street from our house.
The Highway sounds like a country music bar.
And
it's the last thing I would expect to see at the Hideaway. Oh, The Hideaway.
The Hideaway.
Hideaway. Okay.
It is also kind
of... definitely sounds more like a...
Interior-wise, it can be... It's kind of that. But it's got that old vibe to it. It's literally in like an old warehouse. Tucked off the road.
You literally down, look like you're going to get murdered. Like when
It's the running joke. Like we're like, we swear we're taking you somewhere. And every time we take people there, when they come to visit, they're like, are we going to The Hideaway? Are we going to The Hideaway?
That's what I feel about Milestone. I feel like Milestone's like that. It's a great place. I've never had any trouble there, but you'll drive to it and you're like,
Same. It's got that same vibe too of like, this is just like this old place of like, but it's really a wonderful place, and it's where I met one of our performers in last show and this upcoming show, Taylor Knight Adams St. James. Him and I became friends there at about my second or third time at The Hideaway. So it became the place that I started to go to see music, to see drag, to do all of those things. And then in talking to you with it, I was like, oh, I can finally get out and actually do this and do something for the community.
So you had the relationships with the performers just because had been supporting them leading up to this.
Absolutely.
Now, let me sidebar for a second. When did Oliver come into the picture? Like, talk a little bit about how you guys met.
You go.
Anyone who's you know, works in sales in the Charlotte area knows Red Ventures. Andrew and I met there many years ago. This is January of 2024. So I've been back in the Carolinas in the Charlotte area for about 9 years now, and we met very quickly after I moved down here and worked at Red Ventures together, and then our just circle of friends became this thing where Hideaway became, even when I didn't live in Rock Hill, I was spending most of my weekends with Andra and a core group of our friends that at some point we would always end up at the Hideaway.
Lauren.
Yeah.
Lauren Kane.
Lauren Kane.
Okay. Hey, I know Elsie.
Yeah, you know Elsie.
Of SCEDM Live. So she's doing her own thing. So again,
we need the
music community is equally large and equally small at the same time, as you find out about the Charlotte scene specifically.
So true.
The Charlotte to Columbia scene. So then, yeah, we just dated for a bit, took a year off, dated other people, realized we weren't happy with other people, and just realized we were supposed to be together, and have just kind of kept building journeys and adventures together through the music scene.
Yeah, it was one of those situations to where, like, we went through that year with other people, and it was like, okay, well, can I go out to the bar tonight? Because is he going to be there or not? Or what?
Now, was that like a fear of running into him and being awkward? Or it a fear of, like, running into him and not wanting to be with the person you came with, but wanting to be with him instead?
No, it was the awkward, and I was mad at him. I was, like, big mad at him.
What'd you do?
We don't talk about it anymore.
Well, actually, we are going to talk about it because it involves drag, so we're going to talk about it. He left me Uptown Charlotte. We had tickets. Before we broke up, we bought tickets to a RuPaul show in Charlotte at the Fillmore. And we both decided that we were going to honor those tickets, go together. And we cleared it with the significant others we were with at the time. We were like, hey, like, it's cool. We're friends. Whatever, we're going to go. So I find out that one of my friends that is a Ru queen was in town, not in the show, but that they were here. And, excuse me, she was here. And she was going to meet me at this other bar. So I said, okay, well, let's go. Obviously, he's all down, wants to meet the queen. Cool. So excited. Doesn't give his girlfriend, like, any time he's going to come home, whatever. She texts him mad. She calls.
Yeah.
He goes outside, and I'm literally, like, standing there holding his beer, waiting for him to play a game of pool. And he texts me, and I texted him back and said, if you need to leave, that's fine. I understand. Let me know, though. I'm going to stay. Like, I'm going to see my friend from high school that is here to perform a show or be. No, I'm gonna stay. And he left me. And he didn't text me and tell me he was leaving. Yeah. He did not text anything back.
I called her as I was getting on 77.
He did. Yeah, I was like, where are you? He was like, I'm getting off this exit. Well, I was like, wait, you actually left? You really left.
I'll tell you what, let me try.
So, yeah.
In his defense, I can imagine a scenario where you're dealing with, like, your girl, and, like, pulling your phone out to text another girl is probably not the right thing to do in front of her. So I'm sure there's a little bit of that going on, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, like, he's like, of course my wife just flat embarrasses me. But that's really what it was, though, too.
You won in the end, man.
He did. And so did I.
I got a great dog out of that relationship.
We did get a great dog out of that relationship.
That's my boy Angus. And yeah, that's, again, perspective and hindsight, and the clarity of hindsight.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, the older you get, the more you look back and realize, like, how much of like chaos and heartbreak could have been prevented if you had a more mature perspective.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's just shit that just comes with experience. Like, I think back in my 20s, some of the fights I got into with girlfriends and stuff. It's like today, at least half of those fights never would have happened because I just never would have said anything to begin with.
Right.
But when you're in your 20s and you got to make a point.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
You have to.
I will be heard. You know?
Exactly. And then you talk it out later. And that's why I'm like, I'm comfortable talking about it because it sounds so stupid that I was mad at him for so long about it. Because I was legit mad at him for like 6 months.
Well, let's do
it. It was
she
LC.
She made more money than I did anyway, so she could have afforded the Uber back to Rock Hill, no problem.
I mean, facts, but it was LC that made us like not beef anymore, and then
LC kind of brought you back together.
Yeah,
I was just about
she
to ask.
Forced
yeah,
us
let's
back.
Let's finish this story on
she
a high
forced
note.
Forced us back.
Yeah.
She forced us back together because
it was she got tired of being like scheduling her time between the two of us of like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm with Oliver. And then Tuesday, Wednesday.
It was like we had custody of her.
She's like, this is just getting too much.
And it was no longer fun for her. So she decided that we were going to make up. And we did. And then we made up on New Year's Eve a lot. And then and we've been together ever since. Yeah.
Good on you, LC. Good job.
Yeah. LC's. She'll gladly take.
Absolutely.
Take the credit.
All the credit. Absolutely. She will take it loud and proud.
You guys are a lot of fun. You're one of the coolest, cutest couples in the scene, man. Like, it always puts a smile on my face when you guys show up to a show. You don't always tell me when you're coming, so it's always a surprise.
I like to surprise
you. Yeah, that's really fun. I mean, it's cool, man. You know, that's something I never thought about, like, leading up to getting this place open. It's like, I always knew that, like, I would be building relationships with people. I just never thought I would get emotionally attached to people.
Truth.
You know what I mean?
Truth. And you talked a little bit, too, about, like, starting the podcast during the pandemic because you couldn't open, you know, on one of your previous episodes. And that's just another way to show, like, your main interest is the people.
Well, that's what makes the scene up is the people.
Yeah.
You know, the individual arts, you know, I had this ethos with, like, our social media, with, like, Instagram, where I was only going to follow bands and, like, performers. And over time, I've gotten to know so many of these people that are in the bands and super fans, and just I've kind of broken that down and just started, like, following back the people because I feel like, first of all, I feel like it's disrespectful to, like, not, like, this sounds so stupid because we're talking about social media.
Mm-hmm.
But it started to feel like I was being an asshole not following people back because it wasn't a band page.
Right.
And I was like, that's kind of silly, Michael. What are you doing? And now I'm getting to see more of these people's lives.
True.
Is the point that I'm making.
And so much of it is about engagement. And I don't say that I don't mean it in the phony, fake social media way. Like, obviously, that social media monster's there. Please engage with me. Yes, I would like for you to leave comments and subscribe and do those things. But it really is about engaging with people. And that's also something that, like you said, you got to get a different line of thinking sometimes to
it's
open
like,
up
yeah,
different
and,
opportunities
and, another,
and
the other part of that is, like, I don't ever want, like, it's going to happen. People are, eventually someone's going to say some dumb shit like this, but I don't ever want people to feel like I'm gatekeeping or, you know, and I have said this on the show before, and I'll say it again. People that use the term gatekeeper don't understand the value of hard work.
They do not.
Like people that like to throw that term around. Now, yes, there is gatekeeping. Yes, that is a thing. I agree with you. But if you're using it as an excuse as to why you're not being more successful,
that's right.
What you're doing is you're dismissing all of the hard work that went into that person's, you know, success.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, if you're trying to get on with the venue, if you're trying to get on with a promoter, if you're trying to have a business relationship with anybody and you're not getting anywhere, it's probably because they're busy working on the thing that got them to where they're at.
Yep.
And then you have to carve it out for yourself.
True.
You know, it is, like I said earlier, it's been such a slow burn to kind of get to where we're starting to see some normality in, like, the weekend turnouts,
right.
You know? And then we'll still, like, one bad night will wreck me emotionally. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I lose sleep when we have a shitty Friday or Saturday.
I'm sure.
And so
livelihood.
Like, and I had a lot of them in the first year. A lot of empty rooms in that first year, but people, the word's out, and it's been so hard so fucking hard to like get people's attention to come out. And this is a guy who, you know, I've never been a guy that like a sale. I've never been a salesman, right? I never wanted to be. I never wanted to be like, you know, engaging people, you know, just like cold calling, you know? And it does, it sucks, but it's helped me kind of build a skill set that I didn't have before. And the point that I'm making is that if you're having a hard time getting your thing off the ground, you're probably not working hard enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
or find a different avenue.
Like, yeah.
Switch up what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's definitely what it's about. You know, I mean, do different things, do different projects, you know. Yes, I do 10 million different projects or hobbies at any one time. Is it ADHD? Sure. But is it also, I just would prefer to have that variety?
Well, you know what? What you're saying right now kind of speaks to my point about productivity, right? So, like, I hear that all the time. ADHD, I've got ADHD. Well, put that energy into something productive.
Yep.
And instead of saying I have ADHD, say I'm busy.
Yep.
I'm busy. I'm doing this thing. Like taking something that might be viewed as a setback or a negative or something holding you back and finding a way to flip that on its head and turn it into something productive. That's how you do that. That's how you,
absolutely.
That's the difference between winners and losers.
Weaponize your weakness.
Yes. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say, you know, I'll give myself props on that for finding something to keep myself engaged and occupied. No matter what adversity anybody faces, my biggest thing is I've tried to never get to a point where I'm going to just stop and give up. Have I gotten to that point? Yeah. And it got really dark and it got really ugly, but
you had to
put my best foot forward.
Well, and people like to equate money with success, and on one level, yes, money does mean if you've got money, you probably are successful in what you do. But you know, for me, I'm all about perspective, and as long as what you're doing with your time is fulfilling you emotionally, mentally. You know, like for me personally, success is happy. Like, I want to be happy. I don't like being unhappy. And when I'm unhappy, it's usually because I'm not doing something right or I'm not doing something with my time productive. You know, I like when I get a day off, right? Like when it's not football season and there's a Sunday off and I decide to take a day off to rest, by the end of the day, I start feeling shitty. Because I haven't done anything. I haven't produced anything with my time. I haven't done anything productive at all. And it's like, I can't even enjoy a day off because I'm so driven and ambitious that I need to accomplish something every day. And that was what kept me going all through COVID, like when I started the podcast.
Yeah.
And like when I couldn't get open during COVID, my whole thing was do one fucking thing. One thing every day that will contribute to getting the place open. And that could have been simple as making a social media post or emailing, you know, getting a new contact or, you know, starting the podcast. Like every day I would figure something out to do that kept my mind in this.
Yep.
So that when I got open I was more prepared.
Exactly.
And that's, you know, and it's a mentality. It's not easy. You know, like I get so frustrated with people that I get frustrated with people's weakness. Like weakness is a big turnoff to me. People like to have excuses for why they're not doing stuff, and it really when I hear that, my tendency is to back away from this person.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like when I hear whiny people that are giving, they always want to talk about the thing that's keeping them from doing the thing.
Right.
Those people I tend to distance myself from because I want to be surrounded by people like you that are doing something productive.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be inspired every day of my life.
That, me too. I feel the exact same way. I just want to do it. I don't want to sit around and wait and say, okay, well, I have this great idea and, you know, maybe one day it'll come to fruition. And are there those that are back there in my mind? Absolutely. But, you know, it's about jumping out and doing something that you're afraid to do. And that's huge with this show. You know, I was terrified to stand up in front of everyone and host that first show by myself. And I didn't. I had lovely, beautiful Ariel to assist me. And we had a FaceTime prior. And we were like, we don't know what we're going to do. We're just going to get up there and do it. And it was fine. And it was wonderful. And you just have to step out and do the stuff that you know is going to make you happy. You know, it's funny. We talk about sales. And we're two salespeople that have been in sales for well over 10 years each that are not motivated by money.
Yeah.
And that is not something you find every day. That must be frustrating for your employer. It is. We are those people that raise our hands when they're like, how many of you are not motivated by money? And we're like, kind of motivated by money because I like to eat and things, mm-hmm. but I'm more motivated by things that do make me happy.
Yeah.
Am I working, you know, in sales? Absolutely. I got to pay bills. We got to pay bills, right? But is promoting shows, putting parties together, spreading love in the LGBTQ community and beyond, where I'm happy in the music community, are those the things that feed my soul? Absolutely. Those are the things that I want to continue to do, and I work my full-time job to pay for them and to make sure that I can continue to do more and more of them.
Yeah, I mean, it can get exhausting. You know, a lot of the people that we work with, a lot of artists we work with, they're working full time. Bob works a full time job,
mm-hmm.
Bob is you know, he's, you know, managing the Menders, he's managing Jade, you know, yeah. I mean, kind of quasi, you know, and he's doing the podcast here. Like, Bob keeps his plate full,
arguably too full,
and it's exhausting, right? Yeah. And then there will be days where it's like, you know what, I'm not doing anything today. I'm just, you know. You know, but you know, I guess we should address it. Ariel's not here today. She's not feeling well. You know, we love you, Ariel. She's been. Mm-hmm. I know she's probably watching this right now.
She's probably dying.
I wish I was there. This is right up her alley. But you know, like it's cool that like Bob and Ariel both are involved because Bob can be here to pick it up. You know, right. And then there's times where Bob needs a break. You know, and it's we're busy. Like it's work. That's why it's called work, motherfucker.
Right.
Like, you got and you know, you can choose to be lazy and you can choose to lay around and just consume. But to me, that's not a fulfilling life to me. Like, and if
you can make it fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to stay busy. You know, some of us are just like that. We have to stay busy, as productive to feel fulfilled.
I can't stop. If I stop moving, then I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have to keep, if I come home from work, I have to like do something at home, do this or that, go to the gym, all these different things, right? Because if I go home and I sit on the couch and I take off my shoes, I'm done.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to get back up.
I go into this state of paralysis of like, okay, now I'm just going to wait around for whatever the next thing is that I need to do.
Analysis paralysis.
Yeah, then I'm just like sitting there with no shoes, just staring off into space for no reason.
I wish I could do that sometimes. My wife tells me I suck at relaxing. I just can't sit still.
I can hear her saying that.
I can see that. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. This one does too. He's really bad at it, and other than video games. But that's, I guess that's relaxing to him. It's not to me.
Like, yeah, but even then.
I was like yesterday, I was like, you're just walking. Video. Like, I feel like you're just running. Yeah. All you do is run.
In video games.
What is the point?
But it's still. But even when I'm gaming, I'm still like running around doing this and everything else in the apartment.
He's in a perpetual circle of motion at all points in time. He does not.
Speaking of Sunday being your day to relax, Sunday is laundry day for me. Like Saturday is still like wrapping up with some work emails here and there, and then Sunday's like, nope. I specifically leave a task for me to do on Sunday, so I can feel like I've accomplished something.
Yeah.
Even if it's nothing more than laundry and folding it, the ever important final step, like
the test that never ends.
I'm never gonna do that part, so it's a very good.
Someone
thing
could come up with a machine that folded laundry for you. God, that'd be the next billion.
I just saw a video of a robot.
I want one.
Yep.
Oh, we saw the weirdest thing. Speaking of robots, it was a baby robot, a robot baby. What? Do you not remember? It was not that high.
The Fashion Week thing that we were talking about?
I think so. I don't know what it was. It was a clip on some late night show we were watching, I think.
Oh, yeah. No.
It was a clip on a late night show, but it was like
this could take
baby.
Us into a whole other conversation about AI and mechanics, but I don't want the show to run on too long.
So weird. Yeah. No.
Let's go ahead and let's wrap things up. I want you to go ahead and do your spiel. Give us your sales pitch for this Friday show. I'm gonna let you do it.
Please come out and see us. No, I'm kidding.
Good job.
That's it. That's my whole pitch.
Great job.
Done. Told you I was in sales. Nailed it. No.
We're gonna be watching this like at home later, being like, I was eloquent. I was articulate. And they just clipped me.
No, but this Friday, February 2nd, here at the Rooster, this is our third Drag Me to the Rooster, and it is the Valentine's Day Lust or Love edition. We have Anya Nerves, Taylor Knight Adams St. James, we have the lovely Erica Chanel, and we also have Cypress Van Dank returning and joining us once again. So please come on out. You can get your tickets now. They are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. Doors are at 7? Doors are at 7?
We'll be here at 6.
Yeah, we'll all be here at 6. Doors are at 6. Show is at 9. Bring your dollars. Bring your cousins. Bring all your friends. Come out. Enjoy a night of drag entertainment with For Fox's Sake Media and the Rooster. We cannot wait to have you.
Diversity is on tap.
Yep. Absolutely. Definitely bring some ones. And, you know, if you're not completely captured by religious zealot ideology and you've never been to a drag show, come check it out, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, I never went to one myself until my wife and I got together and one of her friends invited us to one and we went. And I never would have been to one had I not, you know, had it not been for my wife.
Yeah.
And I had a blast.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
Songs you're going to recognize with some of the highest energy performances you'll ever see.
And comedy. Comedy is one of the biggest elements of drag and something that I want to ensure that I incorporate in every show. I try to make sure that I'm bringing in entertainment that encapsulates what the Carolinas drag scene is, and it's a lot of different things. Yeah. So I want to showcase a lot of that here at the Rooster and in Gastonia and just, you know, give a place for people to feel safe. And
it's going
to
be a good time. Oh, yeah. And if you're still watching this and you're still sitting there just mad at the screen that we're doing the drag show, feel free to come protest and bring us the free press.
Please do it.
I'll bring you a case of water so you stay hydrated.
That's right. Put up a gate. We talked about this. Put up a gate. Hand out some water.
Because you clearly weren't
hugging up the child. It's
fine. If somebody's protesting your show, you're probably doing the right thing.
That's right. Absolutely. So whether you want, you know, to see the drag, whether you think it's awful, please come on. Join us next Friday.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thank
for
you
doing
so much for having us.
A lot
and
of fun.
For always being so supportive.
I can't wait till Friday. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome.
Peace and love.
Peace.